You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
Well, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be reading from our text today, Acts chapter 2. We'll start reading in verse 1. It says here in verse 1, it says, "On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were all sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them this ability." Came to tell you this today, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you receive a supernatural language that will empower you for supernatural works. Let's pray one more time. Holy Spirit, we just give you the room. We thank you for what you're gonna do. We just say, Holy Spirit, would you teach us about your supernatural language that we would be able to go from this place to declare and demonstrate your supernatural works. In Jesus' name, amen. As you heard, if you're new, that we've been in talking in this conversation, the prophetic word here in 2021 is this is the year of the supernatural. Simply means this, that this is the year that God wants to do what's beyond your ability. That God wants to do beyond what's your understanding or knowledge. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says this, that God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or imagine according to the power that works in us who believe. God wants to work something in you so he can work something through you. And there's three parts to that prophetic word. And the first part was that this would be a year of the supernatural, that we would see signs, wonders, and miracles. That God would do things that blow our mind, do things that are completely shocking and are extreme beyond maybe even where your personal expectation is today. The second part of that prophetic word is that you would supernaturally, personally grow. That you would, in one year, you would grow more than maybe you've grown over the last 3, 5, or 10 years. And the third part of that prophetic word is that we would see supernatural numeric growth here at Mercy Culture. I mean, just look around the room real quick. Come on, most of these people that you're sitting next to, they weren't here maybe a week ago or 2 weeks ago or a month ago. God is building his house because the supernatural is present here at Mercy Culture. This is what I want to say. Not only is this the year of the supernatural, but this is the year that God wants to do the supernatural through your life. See, the supernatural has to become more than just a feeling, but it actually must produce a movement. If the supernatural is just an emotion or a feeling to you, I would want to encourage you with this, is that God's wanting to step beyond just what you feel till you move to the place that actually moves you to do something for the kingdom. Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26, God gives his original mandate or his original prescription for man. He said, "Let us make man," or human beings, "in our image, that they would be like us." And then he says in verse 28, "And so God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion." The word dominion literally means this, to actually have complete authority and domination over the enemy. This is the year of the supernatural that you should have authority and power over every single thing that's been an enemy in your life. Disease, sickness, infirmity, pain, suffering, whatever it is, this is the year that you and I have to step in to that supernatural, that we actually have dominion over every one of those things. See, God's original mandate for our life was always reformation of the world. However, many have traded it for simply being rescued from the world. Simply put it this way, many of us, after we made a decision of faith, Jesus saved us, set us free from sin, we've remained at that place. But God's original mandate is that you would have power and authority to go and reform every single area of culture, every area of influence. When God made man, and you see man here lifeless, God says that he makes Adam, and he was literally dust. And God comes and he breathes into man the breath of life and says they became a living soul. What God did is God took his essence, his nature, his life and he breathed it into man, and man came alive. Man was literally flesh and spirit, and when God breathed into them, they became a living soul. They literally carry the nature, the DNA, the very fabric and fiber of God's being. God breathed into man and they became a living being. God's breath, God's wind breathed into man. Remember a few years ago, I was in the military. Actually, it was 25 years ago when I was in the military. But at that time, I was in pretty good shape and I'd been working out consistently. I worked prior to that season, I worked a landscaping job, and so I was working out. And so I went into the Air Force, Lackland Air Force Base down in San Antonio. And when I got there, I thought, you know, I'm in good shape, so I'm not gonna have any problem with any physical challenges or something. So you get there and you do push-ups, sit-ups, you do pull-ups, and you do a 2-mile run. So I get there, first day we're doing PT, and I crush all the things that are physical except the run. Started the run, and I'm thinking, okay, I got this, I'm good, I'm in good shape. And so I start running, and literally after the first 2 to 3 minutes, I hit this wall, and I feel like all the breath has been sucked out of my lungs. Your lungs are burning, and you're on fire, and all the thing you think of is like, what did I get myself into? I shouldn't have signed up for the military. Great, they're paying for college, all those cool things. Like, this isn't for me. And so I come to this place and I just keep going. I'm running as fast as I can at this place, which ends up being pretty slow. I time the 2 mile and I come out running 18 minutes and 19 seconds. For those that don't know what that means most people can walk that pace and do better sometimes. Average person can walk a mile in 9 minutes. So you got the picture, I was like a tortoise, pretty slow. So I come, fast forward to 6 weeks later, we're getting the run, they're gonna test me again. And so I come there and I'm like, all right, I got this, I'm ready to go. And I line up with all the people and we start running. And I'm running as hard as I can. And after the first 2 or 3 minutes, all of a sudden that, I feel like I hit the wall again. And I have to make a decision that moment. And that decision that moment is I have to push through. And all of a sudden I find life or breath fill my lungs again. And I push through, I run, I come to the place, they hit the stopwatch after I pass the line after the 2 miles. And they're like, 10 minutes, 11 seconds. And I'm like excited, elated, but this is what happened. In the middle of that run where I was hitting the wall, I got what is referred to as a second wind. I had breath fill me again, where I felt like giving up and giving in. I had this second wind come into me. Second wind is a phenomenon that many runners or marathon runners or athletes get. It literally is this idea that where you suddenly find strength to press on at top performance with less exertion. This is what I want to say this morning. It's time for the church to get a second wind. It's time for the church to have breath enter their lungs again. It's time for the person of the Holy Spirit to fill the church with fresh grace, with fresh power, with fresh life, that we can run harder, faster, and quicker after all the things of the kingdom of God. I want to propose this morning, you may came in wanting to give up and give in. You may have hit your wall, but what you need simply is to wait upon the Holy Spirit and get his breath to fill you fresh again. There is a new wind that's coming to the church. But Jesus' answer to receiving the new wind, to the breath of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, he says this, wait for the promised gift. I'll send you a few days from now. Seems a little anticlimactic to wait for something that's going to give you energy, strength, force, and might. I've come to discover, though, is the best things are found in the process of waiting. See, waiting is not about timing, but waiting is about being tied to God. The word wait in the Hebrew is the word kavah. It literally means to wait, to be tied to be bound together. This word in Hebrew, when you break it down, numerology, the numbers add up to this number called number 111, 111. Literally a three-string cord that can't be broken. It's literally the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It literally is this process of you and the Word and the Spirit being bound together. I think, unfortunately, in culture, we devalue the thing that God values. God knows if those people really want to get the gift I want to pour out, then they're going to have to wait. I have a son, he's 2 years old, Josiah, and he just entered a phase about a month ago, the no phase. And this is his favorite statement right now. No, Daddy, I do it. No, Daddy, I do it. So I'm trying to help him. He's getting frustrated. He's like, ah. He got his little veins popping out of his neck, sort of like mine do when I get excited. And he's like, Daddy. And I found that in my life, I'm like my son way too much when it comes to my relationship with God. God, I got this. This is what you said. I got this. Okay, you said, I'm going to go change the world. I got this. And I start just moving out. I start just going after it. What we do is we just like, let me just be about that action, boss. Come on, let me just get after it. And the reality is this, is Jesus says you need to wait for this promise, because if you don't wait, you don't understand how to carry God's weight. The best things come to those that wait. See, we fail to understand that while we are waiting, God is working. My best moments for God are not when I'm working. It's when I'm waiting. Now, waiting is not a passive posture, but it's an active pursuit. It's getting in your daily encounter, our vision. We take people from corporate encounters with God to daily personal encounters with God. It's not just a cool slogan. It's not just a great vision statement, but it's the embodiment of what God wants to do. When man came and man was formed, they came and they met with God every single day. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, they met with him in the cool of the day. This word cool of the day wasn't just a time in the evening. It was sort of cool and the sun set down, and we don't have too much of that here in Texas. It's like just hot all the time in the summertime. Like, it's still 90 at like 9, 10 o'clock at night. Like, it was the cool of the day. This word cool of the day means the time to rebreathe. Literally, God, when he breathed into man, the breath of life, and they came alive. They walked with God, communed with God. They had fellowship with God. They had a daily encounter with God. And every day they would come to God, and God would breathe again into them. His breath is what produced life in Adam and Eve. They couldn't live without the breath of God, for where there's no breath, there's no life. I'd like to say that many times we do life without breath, and we're wondering why we have no life. Wondering why things aren't working, things aren't going all well. Wondering why things are hard and challenging. Could it be that we've not made our personal daily encounter with God our highest priority? We just made it a thing that we check off every now and then when we get to it. So God would come every day and he would breathe life into man. We see the very first act that man did after the God breathed into them is God would bring to man animals. And the Bible says that whatever Adam called them, that's what God named them. Going back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 28, God gave them dominion, made them in his likeness, and likeness was established when God breathed into man, that man would then breathe into other things. His breath became their breath, and their breath became God's voice to the world. You want to change the world? Daily encounter with God. Meet with him. Tie yourself to God. Let me say this. I say this with as much humility as I can try to communicate this next thought. As I share this, not because it's just a theoretical idea or something I studied in Scripture. I say that waiting on God is the highest priority because me and my wife for 17 years believed God for children. For 10 of those years, I laid hands on my wife every single night and I declared only what Scripture said, even though everything else was saying something different. For 10 of those years, my wife had an app where every single hour, scriptures would go off in her phone. And what she was doing is she was reading and declaring and meditating on those out loud, is she was tying herself to God's word. So my wife and I became one with God's word. Having children wasn't just a good idea or a great thought or just a promise that was from afar, but it was something that we embodied because we tied ourselves to God and God's word. The word wasn't just something I was hoping God would do one day, but it was something that fully and completely possessed my soul because I became one with it. What would it look like if the church tied themselves together, bound themselves together, that they became one with the Lord? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17, he who has joined himself to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. Unfortunately, what we've seen is we've seen ourselves as an individual and the Holy Spirit separate, moving over here, and hopefully we can get into it in the right moment at the right time, and we can capture and catch it instead of actually becoming one with him. Jesus said it this way, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then you're saying, I'm gonna send the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit fills you, that you are gonna become one in the same way that I did the same things is now the things that you're gonna go do. Why? Because when you receive God's breath and God's life, you now become one with him and you can go and change, transform the world. Things Adam and Eve lost the breath. They lost God's supernatural language because they gave in to the culture. They gave in to the world. I want to propose to you this morning that what we need, what I need, is we need to find God's breath again. Right? Pastor Leonard said it great. Pentecost is not a one Sunday a year. Pentecost is a daily encounter with the Lord where God breathes into you his breath. And then you go from that position, that place, and you find someone and you find something that you can release that breath to. Acts chapter 2, the Bible says the Holy Spirit pours out and it's like this mighty wind storm. Was it just some wind that was blowing? But the Bible says that this wind came in and the Bible says that the room was filled, but then it also said each and every one of them was filled. That word filled is this word that means to actually be crammed full. You ever been so full of God? So full of God, you're like, I don't think I can take more of it. I can't take another breath. I can't breathe him in more. We hear Pastor Landon say, okay, take a breath. Take a breath. Breathe God in. Like, there's a moment you get where you've breathed God in so much. You're like, I don't know if I could breathe in God more. I just feel so full, so overwhelmed. And this is the reality, is when you feel that place, the right response is that you would find someone and something to release that breath to. See, it would be great to just stay up in the upper room. God, just fill me, fill me. I know I don't got a voice like Pastor Jasmine and other leaders or Ross. And we just stay in that room, fill me, fill me, fill me. But God fills you so you can run the race in the way that would receive the prize. God fills you so you can go out and transform and change the world. The Bible says that when they are filled with the Holy Spirit, they begin to receive a supernatural language. They begin to speak in other tongues. They literally receive God's breath, which gave them a whole nother language. Acts chapter 2, verse 11 says that when we hear them speaking in our tongues, when they heard them speaking in tongues, they were speaking of the wonderful works or the mysteries of God. It's interesting that everyone heard them in their language, even though they were only speaking the supernatural language. When you speak supernatural language, everyone hears that's in front of you what God's saying, not what you're saying. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. He says that when you speak in tongues, you don't speak to men, but you actually speak to God. So when you're speaking in tongues, when you receive this gift, the supernatural language comes upon you, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have this second wind experience, and breath is filling you, and you receive this gift, this grace of speaking in tongues, you're not speaking in tongues for the purpose of man, but you're actually connecting to God. I think one of the greatest things that we as believers can do is pray in the Holy Spirit. Ephesians says to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. When you're tired, when you're weary, when you're excited, when you're frustrated, all of those things, you pray in the Holy Spirit. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 14:8. He said, I desire that all of you, I want all of you to speak in tongues. He wasn't saying it was just for a select group of people or just a few individuals. He was saying, I want everyone to experience this grace of this supernatural language from heaven. See, when the Holy Spirit fills you and you receive a supernatural language for the purpose of doing his supernatural works. So who is it for? It's for everyone. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39 says this, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, your children, and all who are far off, as many as the Lord God our call. We see all throughout the book of Acts, consistently more and more disciples receiving this gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8, verse 15 through 17, that when they prayed, they prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen on none of them. So we have disciples that have received Jesus, have made a confession of faith, who said, yes, Jesus, I put my faith in you. But yet here in Acts chapter 8, they have not yet received the Holy Spirit. They've not received this gift. And so it says, they've only been baptized in the name of the Lord in verse 17. And so they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 9, Saul has now had a conversion experience and now he's becoming Paul. He saw the Lord, had this moment on the road to Damascus, and Ananias, a man who was full of the Holy Spirit, comes and he's led to pray for Saul. It says, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came, he has sent me that you may receive your sight and that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit. I love after Paul gets an encounter with the Lord, he's saying, now before you do anything, I need you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus's words are not just a great suggestion. Jesus's words are always his will and intention for our life. When Jesus says to wait for the promise, and when you receive the promise, you receive power. You know what that means? I learned this growing up. 2 + 2 = 4. You can never change it. That means when Jesus says to wait and then you'll receive power, that means if you don't wait, you don't receive power. Could it be that much of the church lacks power, not because Jesus didn't promise it for everyone, because much of the church has not yet waited? We see in Acts chapter 10, Peter's coming and he's preaching the gospel to now the Gentiles. And in verse 45, he says, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. As many came with Peter because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles also. They thought it was just for the Jews, but here it's poured out and says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. We see in Acts chapter 19, this is the church of Ephesus, and they come down and they're like, hey, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they're like, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. Like, what are you talking about? And they're like, well, what baptism do you receive? Like, we receive John's baptism. And like, well, there's another baptism, and it's this baptism of the Spirit. And so they say in verse 6, and when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. Intimacy with the Holy Spirit opens you up to all the gifts of the Spirit. There's three benefits of speaking in tongues. There's three benefits of receiving a supernatural language. First thing is it activates all the gifts of the Spirit in your life. Every single gift that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is available for you. the gifts of power, the gifts of revelation, the gifts of utterance. Whatever is necessary and needed for your life is available to you when you simply open yourself up to the Holy Spirit and let His breath come and fill you. I think back to my life. I think about a moment I had with the Lord when I was at a Northwest University's college I went to, down in the little men's prayer chapel. And I was just praying every day. I would just give myself to that. And I remember a moment where the Holy Spirit walked into the room. And it was so intense. I just fell on my face and I didn't want to move because I was like, okay, like, I don't want God to strike me. And I remember in that moment what happened. So the Holy Spirit came upon me in such grace and power that from that moment, I started seeing God do things in my life and through my life that I had never seen up to that moment in my life. And it came from a season of waiting that God activated gifts through my life. Second thing, the second benefit of supernatural language is it increases your ability to hear God. The Bible says that when you pray in the Spirit, you speak mysteries to God. It's like a helium balloon. It's gonna go up, right? But eventually that helium's gonna come out and it's gonna come back down. When you speak in tongues and you speak mysteries to God, you know what happens? Mysteries goes up, but revelation comes back down. Every time you pray in the Spirit, He gives you wisdom, insight, understanding. He gives you divine counsel for whatever you need in that moment. We should value and we should put as a priority in our daily encounter with the Lord, speaking and praying in tongues. The supernatural language is empowering you to actually hear God in an increased way. And the third thing is this, it builds you up in your faith. The Bible says in Jude chapter 1, verse 20, that when you pray in the Spirit, it builds you up in your most holy faith. You ever felt discouraged, disappointed? You should pray in the Spirit because it builds you up in the Spirit. One translation says it this way, it builds upon yourself most holy faith. It literally gives a picture of this. It's like Iron Man, right? You know, he's there and all of a sudden, you know, puts his arms out and all the armor comes and just fills him. And literally, he becomes super graced in that moment. When you pray in the Spirit, you step immediately into the supernatural, and now you're empowered for whatever you're facing in front of you. Disciples in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit's poured upon them. They receive this supernatural language, and from that moment, they can't stay there. I just want to say is we don't need more people just crying out for a move of God. We need more people that have cried out and are now moving out with God. Let's be honest, it's amazing here every single Sunday. Let's be honest, it's amazing when you come to Axel on a Friday night. It is amazing when you go to Distinct Business or any of these other things because the presence of the Lord is there. But you know that presence that fills your life, that presence that empowers your life is so you can actually go and transform the world. This is what I want to say, that you owe, we owe the world an encounter with God. We owe it to the world to bring an encounter to Him. See, we can make fun of the world with all the broken things that we see, all the things that are on social media, all the craziness in our world, or we can make a decision that God is breathing to me and now I just need to go and release life to the world. The world is going to be the world until the church becomes the church and releases life to the world. All they know is death. All they're participating in is death. All you look at when you look at the news is death. All we need to do, though, is recognize I've been filled with life and that more abundantly. And the call and the mandate from heaven is that I would go out and I would reform the world. Holy Spirit pours on the disciples. They come out and they come into this moment. They're literally intoxicated. They're overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit. They're like, man, these people are drunk. And they're like, no, we're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning, but we took us some new wine. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. And like it was crazy and it was radical because when you get intoxicated, you do things you wouldn't normally do. Okay, I thought I was talking to some people that maybe had that background before. When you're under the influence, you step out of your natural man and you step into a supernatural man, and you have a supernatural language, and now you could do supernatural things. You know what we need? We need a church that's intoxicated with the Spirit, a church that's overwhelmed with the Spirit, a church that's filled with the Holy Spirit, a church that has the wind of heaven, a church that has the breath of God, that steps out in power, that steps out in grace, that moves by the Holy Spirit, that lives by the Holy Spirit, and brings the reality of the Holy Spirit to this world. This world is crying out for a church that looks like Jesus. When you receive the supernatural language of heaven as the disciples did in Acts 2 in the upper room, there's two things that they also received: supernatural love and supernatural power. We come to Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are there, and the Bible says there's this man that had been laying by this gate every single day to ask for alms from the poor. Peter and John come, and the Bible says they were going to prayer. Now, according to cultures, they would go to prayer every day. In fact, they would go to prayer 3 times a day. And so they come to this place, and they see this man. And the question I asked was this: what was different this day than the day before? Why could they pass this man days and weeks before when they were going to prayer, but today something was different? It's because they were not filled with natural love. They were not filled with just normal ability and normal strength. They weren't looking and seeing things just according to the natural. But now they had supernatural love and they had supernatural power. And so they look at this man and they say, I don't got silver and I don't got gold, but what I do have, what I possess, or what I'm possessed with, let me give it to you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And all of a sudden that breath that they received in Acts chapter 2, they received that breath, and then they'll turn to man and they release life, and this man in one moment is healed from things that he could not get free from for years and years. God wants to raise up a church that's filled with breath that can give life and release power to all the world. Have the worship team come and join me. See, when you receive supernatural love, it makes you do crazy things. Not just natural love, but supernatural love. Some years ago, I was at our last church, and I was with our staff, and we were sitting outside and having a staff meeting. I was there, and I happened to see, maybe 100 yards away, a woman and a gentleman sort of yelling at each other, and she was sort of walking away, and he was sort of just pushing her a little bit in the back, and I said inside myself, if this gets more aggressive, it's on. And so goes on, I'm watching, and I'm sort of disconnected from what's happened in the staff meeting. And all of a sudden, this gentleman comes over and he pushes this woman in the face. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even say anything. I didn't tell the staff I was leading. I'm all of a sudden up and I'm running. I'm running across the parking lot. And I'm like, man, when I get to this guy, I'm gonna beat this guy so silly. No, what happens is I was filled with supernatural love and I saw the injustice and I recognized this is not allowed in my city. This is not allowed in my circle. This is not allowed in my environment. You know what we need is a church that's filled with supernatural love. When they see the injustice of the world, when they see brokenness, hurt, and poverty, when they see people in pain, they can't just stand back and watch and say, oh, Lord, bless them. Oh, Lord, help them. Oh, Lord, would you just please send someone to them? But they have to get involved. Jesus says that he was moved with compassion and he healed the sick. What kind of compassion do you have on your life that moves you to get involved, that moves you to get involved in people's lives, that causes you to take action? Me and my wife were on a date night some years back, and I walked into a room. We were at a Quiznos and we were getting ready to eat. And so I walk up to the cash register, and the Holy Spirit just opened my eyes. And I saw the lady that was helping us. And I saw her living room. I saw her kitchen. I saw that she had 3 children. I saw that there's a pile of bills stacked up in her kitchen counter. So I just said, hey, excuse me, ma'am, could I share something with you? And she's like, yeah. I said, God loves you so much. And I felt like God wanted me to encourage you with this. And I just share what I see. And here she's beginning to bawl. She's in tears. So I get to pray for her, minister to her, and pray and for her daughter, the third one that was sick. And so we pray, and there's a young lady standing off the side that works there for Quiznos. She's watching this whole encounter. So I'm done, I'm praying, I'm starting to walk back, and she goes, excuse me. She said, are you a psychic? I said, no, I'm not a psychic. I said, God loves people so much, and because God loves people, he wants to talk to them. And this is what she said to me, and this shifted my life. She said, do you think God has anything to say about me? From that day, I was marked. Because when you receive a supernatural love, you no longer see people the same way that you've seen them. You don't see them with pain and brokenness and depravity. You don't see them as leaning to the left or leaning to the right. You don't see them with their issues, problems, and pains. You don't see them based upon how they vote or the color of their skin. You don't see them with those things. Because how you see them how God sees them. One of the values in this house is honor. We say it this way, we're governed by honor. What does that mean? Is that we put heaven's value on something or someone. When you put heaven's value on people, regardless of their perspectives, regardless of the pain, regardless how they identify themselves, like Demi Lovato, who just came out this week and says she's identifying herself in this certain way. You know what happens? Is love moves you to action. It doesn't move you to communicate about their brokenness, it moves you to get involved in their brokenness. And if we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit in this season, it should move us to be broken for those that are broken. And you know what? When you're broken for those that are broken, God will give you an authority and a power to bring life to every single person that's going through this. I want to end with this story. See, when you receive supernatural love, it produces supernatural power or boldness. It's in a service, church service, and someone comes in, it's an uncle of a family member, says, hey, will you pray with me? My niece, Anita, she's been on life support, and he communicated this period of time, it was a long period of time, 2 to 3 months, and today they're going to pull the plug because there's no brain function, like just, you know, we're at the end. Will you pray? And I said, yeah, let's pray. And I closed my eyes to pray. I grabbed this man's hand. And all I can explain is there was a supernatural, unusual love that came upon me. And I felt the pain of all these family members. But more importantly, I felt what God felt for this woman's purpose and destiny. And I just simply said a small prayer. And this is what I said. I said, Anita, I command you to wake up in Jesus' name. Pray a prayer. He leaves. Next day, we're having to have a event at the church where we're cleaning up and stuff. He comes and he's running over. He's like, Matt, you never believe what happens. And he's all freaking out. He goes, the moment I walked away from you praying, I walked upstairs. And as I'm walking upstairs, my wife is calling me on the phone and she's yelling, Anita woke up! Anita woke up! You know what we need? We need a second wind. We need the Holy Spirit to fill us in such a way that it produces a supernatural language. Because when you're filled with a supernatural language, you know what happens? It gives you the ability to have a supernatural love and a power for whoever and whatever is standing in front of you. So what I want you to do in this room, I want you to stand to your feet. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Disciples are talking and Peter says this. When they're asking about what do they need to do, he says, repent for the remission of your sins and you will receive times of refreshing. The word refreshing is literally, and you will receive a second breath. God will breathe again into you. I felt like the Lord said this morning is that we needed to posture our hearts in repentance, not because we've all come in and we just need to make a decision, say, Jesus, forgive me and I surrender my life. But anytime you lower the standard of what God says is truth and you live in something lower, we have to repent. Repentance is this, means to change your mind. Another way of saying it, repentance is bringing your mind back to the high place, the way that God thinks. Setting your mind on how does God think about this? How does God view this? So all across this room, I want to take just a moment. I'm going to lead you in a place of repentance. I want you, just put your hand on your heart. And I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit to show you any places that you need forgiveness for having a lower standard, a lower perspective than what God does. To say, Holy Spirit, come and search me. Show me where I've not believed what you believe and I'm not stepped out and done what you want me to do. Lord, I ask for forgiveness. Forgive me of the sin of lowering the standard that you have for my life. Forgive me for not waiting upon you and being filled with the breath of God. We just say, Holy Spirit, would you fill us fresh and new today?
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.